Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday at 8 o'clock, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
G'day, Governor.
Nice.
All right, how are you?
I didn't expect that one. We're awesome.
You know, why are you in the mood?
Chipper
mood. Your Aussie accent. Is it because you think that Luther Burden is the greatest receiver ever, like the rest of Bears Twitter?
You know what? Just like with the Titans, I will not judge anyone by clips on Twitter.
Saw a lot of that over the weekend, both with Bears fans and, you know, Titans fans that are like, wow, Xavier Restrepo is way faster than I thought. Way faster. Yeah. And I was like, we discovered that after a six-second video?
Did you see the guy who tweeted out that that Shedeur Sanders threw the ball 81 yards?
Yes, I did see that.
I'm like, that's like a 40-yard throw.
81 yards. Yeah, the Twitter overreactions to video clips and football practices are quite something.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenon that is really interesting to me. So let's just start at the receiving room for the Titans. You know, we brought up Restrepo. I am interested to see, in all seriousness, you know, what he can do and what that looks like for him. But, I mean, you're looking at it right now. You've got, you know, obviously Ridley and you've got Lockett in there. And beyond that, it's going to be a pretty young room in there. So what are your thoughts on the opportunity for the two draft picks that they had, and also Restrepo stepping in here?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be a young room. And look, we all like Tyler Lockett. He made a great first impression. He's had a wonderful career. We don't know what they're going to get from him at this point. We just don't. I am excited to see some of the young guys, but, I mean, guys, they've been drafting receivers for years. So, you know, they finally got a hit with some of these guys, and you know, we'll see if they can or they can't. I'm glad there's multiple ones there to try to get something done. I think that's a big step forward. And you know talking about Restrepo, you know, if he is something, it's a bonus. You know, but he was a highly productive player in college, so he's certainly worth taking a look at. But yeah, nothing I saw on Twitter is going to make me go, oh, yeah, this guy's going for 1,000 this year. But, you know, I'd like to see them all play. The guy that I still think can help them is Bryce Oliver, though. I mean, he certainly showed he can play special teams at the end of the year last year, and I thought he had a very good camp last year. And so I'm interested to see if he can take a step forward to help this team.
Yeah, we were going through the possible receiver room, like an Oliver, Restrepo could be compared against each other. Like you said, special teams does matter when you get down to the bottom, you know, of the room. Maybe, you know, what does Jefferson have? You know, I don't think Restrepo is a – I'm predicting him to make the team. But, yeah, there's some – probably some overboard reaction to a couple plays against air in the rookie camp. What about the leadership conversation around Cam Ward, Corey? What are you seeing in that regard?
I think it's important. I mean, you know, his coaches at Incarnate Word and Washington State and Miami all basically call him a culture changer. And, you know, I'm not here saying the Titans had a bad culture, but, like, guys, we know the leadership void that was there with the departures of Derrick Henry and Ben Jones and Kevin Byard. You know, you don't just lose all those guys and move on. And so they have not had the guys to really replace those guys and set the standard for the team. And so, you know, having the guy in that position to set the standard for the team, I think, is important. And I think it comes naturally to him. So, you know, he doesn't have to be taught to do it. He doesn't have to fake to do it. That's who he is. He has expectations of himself, and I think he has expectations of his teammate. And I think it's a really important part of who he is. Now, can he do it at this level? You know, that remains to be seen, like every other quarterback that's been drafted before him. But I think it's a big component of who he is and an important one.
Corey, a lot of talk over the weekend about Ward and his ability to get the ball out really quickly. Now, I will say, you know, Will Levis could also get the ball out pretty quickly, right? Like when he wanted to, he could get it out quickly. I do look at Ward and the way that he played at Miami, and it does feel like, you know, part of the ability and his ability to get himself out of trouble sometimes is the very quick release, which some guys have that, some guys don't, and I'm not sure how much you can actually teach that fundamentally. Like Brian Callahan has talked about, basically from the waist up, it's hard to change much of your fundamentals at quarterback once you make it to the NFL. How big of kind of a weapon do you think that is, can be, for Cam Ward, and just how quickly the ball comes out of his hand?
Well, I mean, you know how small the windows are in the NFL, so I think it's important. You know, and arm strength matters. And like you said, getting it out quickly, you know, so when you see it, you can rip it and get it there. You know, those things are all important. But, you know, I think there's a couple other things, you know, with this. You know, number one is preparation. You know, I've always said success happens when preparation meets opportunity. And the kid loves to prepare. And I'm not saying Will Levis didn't. We know Will Levis works. That is not a question. But, you know, Cam Ward loves to prepare. He loves to watch film. He loves to work on the field. And that is all part of the reason he is able to get the ball out quickly beyond the physical ability to do it. You know, the other key difference I think we're going to see here is, wasn't Will's path to quarterback much later than Cam's? I think, like, he switched, like, later in high school or something. He was, like, a tight end or something like that. I mean, you know, he's a big man.
He could be a linebacker still.
And, yeah. And, you know, where Cam has been a quarterback since day one. His dad was a quarterback, and, you know, and taught him. And so he has a lot more feel for the position. I think there's a lot better anticipation of pressure in the pocket and feeling the pressure in the pocket. And I think there's a lot better anticipation of what's happening in the passing game. And I think that also allows him to read and react just that much quicker, where in the NFL, that makes the difference. Again, we're going to have to see it in the field, but I think those are some of the arrows pointing in his direction that should make you feel like it's going to happen.
So, Corey, we've talked some today about the idea of, you know, obviously Titans fans hoping Cam Ward works out, but of course next year they're going to be looking at who gets picked and tracking them and where the Giants are picking, what could have been, all that stuff. My question for you is, are you as convinced as the entire Western world is that Arch Manning is just absolutely the number one pick in the draft next year?
No. I mean, he could be, but I mean, we've barely seen the young man play.
Thank you. Why is this hard for people?
I'd like to see him play. You know, I'd like to see him play somebody in a big game, you know, on top of that. You know, that's the thing about Cam Ward. We got to see him throw for like 18,000 yards. All right. You know, there's some proof of concept there. And beyond name and star rating, I need more proof of concept. Mitch Trubisky was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school, and he didn't work out. All right. So, you know, look, he very well could be. There's no question. He's got the lineage. He's got the physical specs. But I need to see him play. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks on the list this year. But I'll guarantee you that list looks a lot better or a lot different after 12 games than it does at the beginning of the 12 games. And I will go on to say this. There will probably be a name or two show up there that isn't on the list.
Corey, what is your reaction going to be, do you think, if Daniel Jones is a starting quarterback, like it looks like he might very well be, for the Indianapolis Colts in week one this year?
Well, you know, when the other guy has to tap out of a game because he's tired and then go under anesthesia for 7 hours to get a back tattoo, it makes you wonder about him, okay? I mean,
I didn't know that story. What did I miss? Anesthesia for 7 hours? What?
Yeah, he wanted a total back tattoo. So he went under anesthesia for 7 hours and got this total back tattoo.
Of what?
At least, I don't know, but at least he's not tired.
Okay. Now I need to know what the tattoo is of.
Yeah. Look, you know, they've tried Mickey Mouse in their way around that position, They finally took a swing at it with Richardson and put him out there way before he was ready. That's a guy that really could have stood to have watched.
Oh, yes.
Really, and, watched for a year. It would have been okay. People would have understood. At least I feel like they would have understood, when you talk about his age and when you talk about his lack of playing time, lack of proof of concept, that you could have understood, hey, we're going to take our time with him. I mean, there's a lot of like McNair there, right? Superior athletic ability, but needs to learn the refinement of the position. But do you applaud the Colts for bringing in Daniel Jones if he wins the job, or does it just go, gosh, you guys are a mess? I
would lean the latter.
Yeah, I would too, because Daniel Jones is not good.
I think it's all just planning for Manning.
Could be.
I thought that was the Saints. Now I thought the Saints were getting Arch.
Oh, they are all in. Saints fans are all in.
Yeah, they want to go 0-17.
It's going to be quite a battle for the guy who might be about the ninth best quarterback in the SEC next year.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, I don't know. Could be. Could be great.
We don't know. He's right. Yes. We don't know.
Thank you, Corey. Know. I knew you'd be on my side on this.
Corey, last thing for you here. It's been a week. You were at the Barry Trotz season-ending press conference last Monday. Andrew Burnett.
I set the over and under on his opening statement at 15 minutes.
Boy, were you low.
That was a huge mistake. That was a huge mistake.
That was the longest opening. Statement's not the right word. It was an opening monologue, pretty much.
Four score, and
it was
27 minutes.
It was awesome. A lot of talking.
Amazing.
And he didn't even look tired. He looked like he could have kept going. He just decided to stop. I was thinking the next time Corey Booker decides to get up there, he needs to call Barry Trotz to tap him in.
Well, the best part about it was I think he thought that he's like, there's no way they could possibly have questions after that. So let's just get off. Let's just get off the stage.
Good night.
That's what Whitey Herzog used to do with Jack Buck. He talked forever, so he wouldn't have any questions. You have a question, though. I cut you off.
Well, Andrew Burnett officially back, and what did you make of Barry Trotz's kind of outline for his plan here to get back to being a competitive hockey team next year?
Well, look, I understand it. He is a coach, and so I understand his support of a coach. And he's not wrong. Because we do this all the time where, the NFL coach of the year gets fired a year later. And we're like, well, did he forget how to coach? Really? Did he forget? Doug Peterson wins the Super Bowl in Philly. A year later, he's out. Did he forget how to coach? Or did something else change? So I can buy that excuse, but he does have to grow, for sure. They've got to get more out of what they've got. But, you're taking a chance, but you're also taking a chance. He'd rather take a chance with a guy that he knows, and I can respect that. So, he's hitched his wagon, and so it's got to go with him. It sounds like he's basically banking on players returning to form and buying in and young guys getting better. Because we talk about the old guys. The young guys really let him down last year. Really let him down. They had a lot of guys who just did not deliver very much last year. And so, there are other teams that change coaches, change players. That's not going to be this team. He's going to count on what he got to get better, and that is a bold non-2025 strategy, and we'll see how it works out.
By the way, the Anthony Richardson back tattoo apparently included his last name, the NFL logo, four aces, a roulette wheel, dice, a lion, a cross, and Spartan warriors. Sedation for 7 hours.
Just a smorgasbord of stuff he likes?
Apparently so.
But they just spun a wheel. Yeah. What goes on next?
Yeah, this is according to the Indy Star.
You throw Homer Simpson in there, and how about some Care Bears? What?
Listen, I'm just going to say this. Before you get the NFL logo or anything, you might want to be good.
That's a good point.
The guy's
gold
a
jacket.
Superior athlete. He doesn't even have to be a superior gold jacket. He's got to be a starter.
No, I'm saying get a gold jacket tattoo. Just tattoo a gold jacket on your back?
That would be bold. Just like have a bodysuit like tattooed, like a gold jacket.
Yeah.
That would be bold.
I'm just kind of disappointed. You got through that whole. That's a lot on that list, and you didn't. There's not a gator from Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
What if they did the whole thing and NFL was NLF?
That'd be a tough one.
No Rugrats. No Rugrats across the chest
not
with an
even
A.
Single letter.
He asked for a 13, but they gave him 31.
Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for taking time to be with us today, and we will talk to you next Monday.
You know, maybe next Monday we all go in for back tattoos and we do the show live while getting back tattoos.
I mean, that could actually be incredible radio.
Back tattoos of the Chicago Pope, who unfortunately is a Sox fan, not a Cubs fan.
But none of us know what the tattoo is going to be because we're all picking for each other.
Well, that could really get in there. Rex one seems really excited about that.
I'm in.
You're both getting the Pope, by the way.
Oh, good. We'll get that going. Thank you, Corey.
Bye.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say. And, man, was there a lot there. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. A lot of reaction to Anthony Richardson tattoo there. I got one texter that says he had to stop the tattoo halfway because he got tired. I got to tap out of this. I mean, in all seriousness, 7 hours for a back tattoo? I'd probably tap out of that, too.
No, we're talking about Brett, that's a heart surgery amount of time to need to
anesthesia.
Be under, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I mean, is that what people do?
I don't think so.
I feel like
it seems like
some people go in there, it takes forever, and they just sit there and take the pain, right? Or they
break it up into sessions. A couple hours here, a couple hours there.
Get a little buzz, you know? Someone says Stilly will get a matching tat. That's right. He is a big Anthony Richardson guy.
It says, I mean, I'm reading the story from the Indianapolis Star, and it just says 7 hours sedated while getting full back artwork during the offseason last year. 7 hours of sedation.
And again, just random items? Just like a total smorgasbord of whatever? Again, at least make it one awesome, logo.
I mean, it included his last name. The NFL logo, 4 aces, a roulette wheel, dice, a lion, a cross, and Spartan warriors.
So it's like the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe go to Vegas.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at there's a picture of the completed product on his back, and it's a nice-looking tattoo. I mean, it's good-looking stuff there once you finally get through the 7 hours of it, I guess.
That's not good. That's a bad tattoo.
It's all there. I can confirm.
Wait, is that name? Is that just on the screen? Or is that how it looks
on
his back?
Okay. I think that's
Anthony Richardson.
This is who this is.
I like lions and aces and cowboys and corned beef hash. What? I don't know. But, yes, thank you, Stephen, from Hendersonville, for noticing the Care Bears reference.
Yeah.
He says, greatest comeback since Don Johnson knocked off Don Johnson's Miami Vice with Nass Bridges.
There yeah. I mean, it also says in here that he got a lot of crap for having sedation to go through a back tattoo. It's like, yeah, I bet you did. I'm starting to think, tapping out of the NFL football game, getting sedation to go under the tattoo there. Teammates are looking at him like, how tough is this guy? Yeah. Okay. Cool.
You got a hangnail, buddy? You okay? Look, I mean,
maybe it's not a big mystery when you combine all these things and a 47.7% completion percentage that he may not be the starting quarterback in Indianapolis this year.
Yeah. I mean, look, I would probably need sedation. One of the many reasons I've never had a tattoo is because, it sounds terribly painful.
It doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
No, I don't have one either. I mean, I'm sure it just depends on where you get it.
No tattoos.
Tattoo free show.
Wow. Yeah. My wife has a handful, but.
I mean,
that's cool.
Like, so getting it directly on a bone sounds awful. Other than that, I think you'd probably be okay.
Wait, what'd you say
on
the bone?
I said getting it on a bone somewhere sounds awful. Other than that, it kind of.
But I mean, everywhere it's kind of on a bone, right?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, I guess if I had it on my belly, I'd be bone free.
Measuring.
You heard it here first. Belly tattoos upcoming for Rex Road. We'll take your suggestions on what he needs to get there.
There's enough padding there to keep it off my bones.
You get tattooed. What would your tattoo? If like if you're going Anthony Richards style, yours would be corned beef hash. Rugby would be in there somewhere.
Probably Beavis
now.
And Butthead. I'd probably do a Beavis and Butthead.
Tom
tattoo.
Izzo's face somewhere on there.
Yeah. Screaming. Red screaming face. I'd probably do Beavis and Butthead.
Beatles albums, like laid out over there.
That's not a bad
Metallica.
Idea. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of options.
Peter Frampton.
I mean, has he is there something written? Like, has he described anywhere, like, why he made these choices? I'm kind of fascinated now by this tattoo.
I'm more fascinated by the 7 hours of work, but no, I don't see like any detail of why he did all this. But apparently he's been getting tattoos since he was 13 years old, according to this piece at the Indy Star.
Okay. And he just was like, hold back.
Do you think he'll have the most tattoos as a backup quarterback of any backup in the league next year?
That may be. But it's like – he didn't have enough ideas for the whole back, so he just threw a couple items in there.
I guess so.
A la carte. But how is he doing that?
We're gonna
get
it all done at once, baby.
If he's sedated, how did the guy just pick for him? Like, yeah, I'm about a lion.
I got a lot of ideas here. I need you to put me under, and this is what we need you to do here.
Bradford says it feels like scratching a sunburn with a sewing needle. You know how awful that sounds?
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Absolutely awful.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out. Like Corey says anesthesia, and I also assume that's what it means. But like Dylan from Antioch says, when they say sedation, do they mean like he's totally under? Is this like surgery? I don't know.
I mean, some people are quote-unquote sedated when they get tattoos because they're like blown out, but
exactly.
They're still sitting there.
Exactly.
Boy, we really are the dog from up today.
Oh, yeah. This has been an interesting program from our attention span level. He said that. I was like, really? 7 hours of sedation? How about that?
This texture says, feels kind of like getting a strawberry burn from sliding into a base on your thigh. Again, no.
That's all right. I can handle that.
The other one sounds way worse. A needle on your sunburn.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great. Vingan's got six, he says. Six tattoos for
Vingan. Has six tattoos?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a badass.
There you go.
Tustin says, you can get tats of your most memorable arguments. Robbie sitting back in the eating popcorn and Skaharski and Rex Rutter yelling, pointing fingers in cartoon form. I mean, I'd get tattoo of the Beastie Boys with their faces on them.
Mariota. Give me a nice Marcus tattoo.
Yeah, there you go.
Shoulder. And with a quote from you just saying, he's a pretty good quarterback.
He's pretty good. He's all right.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will actually get into the Titans coming up next. Talk a little football. Take your thoughts. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. The rookies were on the field over the weekend. The vets rolling in starting today. And, Joe, a lot of conversation about obviously Cam Ward, but also the Titans receivers over the weekend as well. Xavier Restrepo out there making some plays that people who cover the Titans were tweeting about. Now, granted, most of them were on air, so there is that to keep in mind. But Restrepo, an undrafted free agent, very productive, as we've pointed out, at the University of Miami, and had a fantastic year this past year with Cam Ward as his quarterback. He runs a bad time at the 40-yard dash at his pro day, over 4.8, and then doesn't get drafted. So he doesn't get drafted, signs with the Titans as an undrafted free agent. And now the question is, can he actually help this team this year? Does he have a chance of making this team based on where they're at with their receiver room and where he was taken as an undrafted free agent? Brian Callahan asked about Xavier Restrepo over the weekend. Here's what Callahan had to say on Restrepo, his path to get here, and how important the 40 time was to the Titans.
Xavier Restrepo added your wide receiver group.
You know, Xavier's been a really productive college player. I mean, you look at all the names of receivers that have played at the University of Miami, and he's at the top, which is impressive. He's he might not necessarily be the biggest or the fastest player that's probably ever come out of Miami, but he's been incredibly productive, and he's found ways to play football the right way. So he'll start out as a slot player for us, and he'll have every chance to compete just like everybody else will. But you look at his production and what he's done as a football player, and he puts himself in pretty good position to be competitive. And even though he didn't run the fastest time in the world, I'm excited to see what he can do.
So the 40 time wasn't that big a deal for you guys?
I mean, it all matters. Yeah, I mean, it matters. But I think you see the football player and you see the speed that he plays with when he plays. I wouldn't have thought that would have been the time that he ran. That's how you go from a potential draft pick to being an undrafted free agent at the end of the day. And he's got a lot to prove, and I'm excited to see him do it.
So a 4.8340 for Xavier Restrepo, which we talked a lot about when it happened. And Callahan said it there. He said, that's how you go from probably being drafted to an undrafted free agent. And we'll see whether or not this is going to be one of those stories that works out really well for the Titans, or if this is just a sign of maybe he's just not a really good college player and not cut out to be in the NFL, which, Joe, we do see a lot in the world of college football. And we'll see what that means for Restrepo.
Yeah, look, I like the signing. It's a good signing. I promise you the Titans were far from alone in wanting to sign him. The whole Cam Ward Restrepo thing is probably going to be a little bit overrated. Get into camp. He's going to be catching passes. A lot of passes from Tim Boyle will be my guess. But you go through the list of contenders for this receiver room, I'm predicting he makes the team. It's no sure thing. I don't feel great about it. But we listed 8 guys earlier. And I would put Treylon Burks as the 8th guy at this point. And I think I look at Restrepo and I think it's like Restrepo, Bryce Oliver, who is a nice, he's been a nice addition. I think he's got a good chance. Van Jefferson, what's Van Jefferson got left at this point?
I don't think very much.
I think those 3 guys probably for the final spot, like Ridley, DK, Ayomanner. Good.
Ayomanner.
Lockett. I think you could lock those 4. And then, those 3 guys I mentioned for 2 spots. So I think, look, if you're Restrepo, absolutely the 40 time hurt him. I think he's drafted if he has a decent 40 time.
I would agree.
But if you're Restrepo and you were looking at opportunity around the league, that you had to look at this place beyond Cam Ward and say, yep, this is a room I could get into. And I think he can. But, like, let's also keep – like, that means he's he's a reserve. And, by the way, I don't mention Mason Kinsey.
Yep.
But Mason Kinsey can get on the slot and make plays for you too.
He's hanging around.
He is.
Just like he always does. He's hanging around. Look, the bottom line for me for the Titans receiving room is – number one, they need Calvin Ridley to have an uptick over what he's been the last couple of years. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean, he's been basically a 1,000-yard guy the last 2 years. It doesn't mean that he has to be a 1,300-yard guy now. But it does mean you got to get out of the gate quicker. And we've talked about that in terms of getting on the same page with Ward. Beyond Ridley, who I think there's at least, if he's healthy, baseline of kind of the range of what he is right now, which is, I think, probably in a perfect world, a pretty good number 2 and not a number 1. But right now you'll live with that if you're the Titans. Who is that next guy that's going to be able to make plays for them? Is it Tyler Lockett? Frankly, like, as the season goes on, they probably need it to be somebody else that's not Tyler Lockett. They need one of these rookies to step in and to be able to make an impact. Like, we've talked about Lockett. Lockett's reliable. Lockett stays healthy. Lockett's also going to be 33 in September, and his production has started to go pretty significantly the other way. Last year, 49 catches, 600 yards, 2 touchdowns for Lockett. Can he do that again, or is it going to continue to tank a little bit? Like, is he more of a, 35 catch, 500-yard guy now, which you can still use. But if that's your second guy, like, you need somebody else to come in and fill that role. Like, I like Ayomanner. I like a lot of the things I've seen from him watching him in college and some of the highlights you've seen. Same thing with DK. Like, I like some of the highlights that you've seen. But you are talking about 2 fourth-round receivers there. So what exactly are they going to give you when it comes to regular, everyday guys contributing at the NFL level? What are they in year one? I think the expectation, like expecting them to come in and be like 60-catch guys that put up 800, 900 yards this year, that seems pretty lofty to me for two rookies taken in the fourth round.
Yeah. I mean, I think there should be – there probably should be more attention on them and a little less on Restrepo, right? Like they use significant draft capital on these two guys. I think if you're the Titans, you really hope one of them becomes like a, wow, they got that guy in the fourth round kind of guy right away. I would probably – I like Aya Manor.
I do too.
You know, physically I know that he's had some inconsistencies too, catching the ball and things like that. But I think that he has a chance to be – significant for this team. But you need really both of them. They're both gonna make the team barring something
drastic,
brutal.
Yeah,
and so you really need something from both of them. But it's gonna be a lot of by committee as far as we know. You just need, look, AJ Brown was really good at Ole Miss. I mean, they got him, you know, like 53, so I mean he was a significant draft pick, but he still was like game one, he takes that little stick route and takes it to the house. Like he was immediately like, holy crap, this guy fell to the second round.
Well, and you're like, yeah, this guy should have been drafted way higher than where he was.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They need some stories like that. This franchise has had very few stories like that in recent years.
Exactly. And they need, you know, they need probably several of them in the next few years if they're going to dig their way out of this, right? I mean, obviously Ward's the most important part of it, but they need some guys that come along and help him that way that – maybe expedite that a little bit. One texter says, isn't getting a UDFA who can help your team like the best case scenario? How do we end up in a place where it's a bad thing? I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing.
I guess my point is, I think expectations for him should be managed.
Yeah.
Right? Like he is an undrafted free agent. Now maybe he does come in and look, maybe they get through camp and he's like their third best receiver and it's clear. I have no idea. It could happen that way.
It is possible.
But I think way too many people are just assuming it's a given that he's making the team, and I would not go that far.
Yeah. I'm going to predict it. And, again, the 40 time, he has claimed he regularly tested in 4.5s, then don't run if you're banged up. You hurt yourself. But it's that quickness, the foot quickness is what matters. One thing that stood out to me about him is he looks big, almost maybe too big. For a slot receiver, but you know he's got physicality, broke tackles in college. I mean he's a good football player, so it's not a bad thing. But it's also maybe not the great thing. Some people is all right. What have you got over there? What the heck? Oh my god! Someone just Robbie is showing someone illustrated a picture of me with a belly tattoo.
At DJ Burnside on Twitter.
Good
it's
Lord.
Actually at Dennis J. Burnside on Twitter, but we now have visual.
What is it of? What's the tattoo
it's
of?
It's Care Bears on your stomach.
Well,
it's, for the record, not your stomach, but your face is photoshopped on this person's
stomach. I'm in way better shape than that dude. Caleb in Mount Juliet says his belly idea tattoo is Homer Simpson eating corned beef holding a beer instead of a donut with the word gout around it. Dennis, can you do that one?
Kind of like it.
Take my face off it, please.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans coming up next. We will do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival featuring Willie Nelson and family, Bob Dylan, and more coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 25th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 25th.
That sounds fun, man.
It does.
Willie Nelson.
92 years old.
Unbelievable. Freaking legend.
Now they're getting it done.
If you're looking for a podcast, I'll give you Jemel Hill's podcast, which he had Snoop Dogg on, talking about how Willie smoked Snoop under the table to the point where he couldn't talk anymore, and then they went and got KFC buckets of chicken.
Smoke weed constantly.
Some of the greatest podcasting ever done.
By the way, Bob Dylan. I mean, Bob Dylan be 84 in 12 days.
176 years between those two dudes.
That's quick math by you.
Thank you. Thank you. And they're still rocking. I like it.
We'll see how it goes.
I feel terrible.
You're gonna go?
I've never seen either of those guys.
Really? It surprises me.
I know. The thing is, I'm like concert crazy now because in my youth, these bands I loved, I never saw Nirvana, never saw Soundgarden, never saw Alice in Chains, never saw Beastie Boys. I blew it, man. So I'm trying not to blow it now. So maybe I'll be there.
Makes sense. Dylan on the text line says, I would absolutely cut Burks and Jefferson. You don't need Burks around, who's constantly injured, and Jefferson has been absolute trash the past couple of years. Give all the opportunities and spots you can to the new, young, and up-and-coming guys. This is from Dylan on the text line. Not a huge Van Jefferson fan.
Well, I will say I'm a little skeptical on it. I just like a Restrepo, if you like what you see, I would probably rather ride that train.
Don't get me. Like, Van Jefferson's not good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, at least they have enough bodies now to have something resembling a competition. Whereas it wasn't long ago, we were like, gee, that receiver room.
Yeah. They didn't have enough bodies to fill it out.
Are you going to keep three guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I like Restrepo's chances. We'll see.
Do you think Burks is 100% gone?
It's pretty close. You know, it's just when you add the injuries with the inconsistency, and I'm sure that the inconsistency, I feel bad for him because I really do believe that camp, which would have been 23, right?
His second year, yep.
Yeah, he really was. Like, it was legit. He was legitimately gaining confidence, and I think – I don't know what kind of season he would have had, but that injury he suffered at Minnesota, that changed things for him without question. And I'd be interested to see how it plays out without that. But he's had other stuff too, and he just never – it just never come together for him. So I'm not expecting him to be on this team.
Is he going to end up in San Francisco to join forces with Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petitfrere out there?
Oh, my goodness. Who else can they get?
Matt, we talked about it earlier, but can you imagine if the Niners run into a situation where those two guys end up on the field at the same time? Like Brock Purdy? Just go down, man.
The Laurel and Hardy of offensive tackles. Just put them on the field together and let the hijinks ensue.
Brock, make sure you sign your contract. Maybe it was a negotiating tactic for the Niners. Like, hey, man, we've got this number that we feel pretty good about giving you, and you're trying to get us to pay you more. If you don't sign this contract right now, you're going to play with Andre Dillard and Nicholas Petitfrere this year.
We're putting the Dillard NPF offense in. Watch out. Yeah, that's amazing they signed both.
I did have a Titans fan.
Like, you figured both of them would end up somewhere, but for both of them, for one team to look at both of them and say,
yeah,
we'll take you and you. Yeah. Let's go.
It's pretty wild. I did have a Titans fan tweet me on Friday and was like, yeah, they'll probably go there and figure it out. I was like, I don't think so, man. I've seen Andre Dillard in particular has bounced around at a few spots, and it has not gone well anywhere that he's been. I don't know that San Francisco is just going to be the place where it all magically gets fixed.
Yeah, first-round pick, so you get the full investment of the first-round pick, playing for what most people would say are the top two offensive line coaches in the NFL, Jeff Stoutland and Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And an NPF last year might – it's up there with some of the worst tackle play I've seen in the National Football League. It's up there.
Now, if you take into account that he was – assessing fantasy football. Okay, I almost made you spit your coffee on that one. He's multitasking.
I forgot he did that in the middle of the year. I was like, geez.
Boy.
What a great decision that was.
He's such a nice guy. It's just like.
Apparently not very smart.
Well, but he seems so. Like, it's like.
Well, the evidence would suggest no. He's gambling on foot in the middle of the football facility. And now he's got this thing going in the middle of the year of. Hey, I'll be your fantasy football expert when I get busted for gambling and I suck at right tackle.
Yeah, the decision-making left a little to be desired. But, when I was 21 years old, again, you could have talked to me and be like, hey, that's a pretty sharp kid. And then I wasn't, so it happens. Vingan's here. Yeah, show us your tattoos, Vingan, unless you have a butt tattoo.
Jack on the YouTube chat says, wait, didn't Stilly want to give up the farm for Richardson? If he gets beat out by Daniel Jones, we cannot let him live that down. Still, he did love him some Anthony Richardson coming out of the draft.
Yeah, look, we don't have – like, I wish that anyone here kept track of things the way he does and selectively, because we could spend like a week going through his takes that are atrocious.
Yeah.
Not, but it, but you know, for him, I told you, no, Jared. I told you so.
Anthony Richardson is going to be the best.
He was big on him. Then again, I was big on Bryce Young.
Actually, I mean, Bryce Young looks like it's coming together.
Yeah, maybe. I do feel better about Bryce. But I thought Bryce Young was going
to
be.
They didn't need to give Bryce Young some time. Get Xavier Legette in there. Get him some time to marinate a little bit. It'll be fine.
Actually, I mean, I like what they've done. I mean, you know, that's a franchise that from the top has issues. But I do like what they've done to help Bryce.
Have you seen Xavier Legette with all these like horse videos he's doing?
Oh,
out there?
I was just going to say, I favorited a bunch of those Derby ones. I need to cut it up for you.
Well, he got a new horse, right? Yeah. I saw the thing where he got a new horse. He's just riding through his hometown
that
with his new
unbelievable.
Horse.
That guy's unbelievable.
Then he just goes to a barbecue, gets a little barbecue, gets back on his horse.
Yeah, I saw one video where he just like ripped a squirrel apart and just ate it. Like, all right, there we go.
Riding that horse around the low country, baby. You got to love that dude.
I've never wanted an NFL player to be better more than I do Xavier Legette. Need him to be an outstanding player.
MVP, please. If he's close, he's getting the vote.
Golly, we were all over the place today, huh?
I know. This show made no sense at all.
How about that? Ian, great start to the week today.
We're off and rolling. It could be one of those weeks, maybe.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week because we got DVD next.
Yeah,
huh?
DVD's coming up. Got a little bit of a different schedule this week.
Yeah.
It'll be mostly normal for us, but you will be in the afternoon on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, it'll be PK and I taking over Jared's slot.
Yeah, Vingan will be
I'm sure we won't take any shots at him at all during this time
slot. I'm sure PK will handle that swimmingly coming up later this week.
Full respect for the host of that time.
That does it for us today. DVD is coming up next. Adam and Willie, you're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.